I would like you for our homework to Google the vision of Booth, William Booth from the Salvation Army. Google his vision. Read how he described what he saw was the problem with the church and why the Salvation Army resulted and the ministry of the Salvation Army, while there were in fact churches. William Booth was regarded as a troublemaker and a rabble-rouser and an extremist to be stopped. He was published against, and they wished he would go away when he started out. But nobody in this room thinks Salvation Army thinks, oh, those troublemakers. They think, oh, Salvation Army, yes. But the world has changed because of his commitment to the other. We mustn't be comfortable in this room that we're here and we're building something. It's the other that matter. It's really important. So, branches, broken off. The root is holy. That makes the branch holy. Don't be arrogant. Okay, Paul, thank you. We stand sort of chastened, and it's urgent, and it's serious. What if we look to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, which you'll recognize, and it starts with, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine, you are the branches. You know the story. So Romans is just at the end of the four Gospels, and John is the last gospel. So you really only have to go a millimeter over and you're in John, and chapter 15 in a Bible is what I'm preaching from exactly right now. Jesus said, is it true if Jesus said it? It is. Is it true if Paul said it? It is. If the minister who's preaching says it, you got to weigh it against Scripture, right? But here's reading Scripture. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Jesus backs up Paul's statement. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. So the goal is fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Clean is a play on words. So it actually means holy, sanctified, right? Clean, like your sins are washed away clean. But it also means when your rose bush gets cut down good and short so it grows well next year. Do you know what I mean? That winter meanness of what people do to rose bushes, and you think, why did you do that? And then you see in spring what happens to the rose bush, don't you? And Jesus says, you're clean already because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Are you connected to the Lord Jesus Christ by your faith? Apart from me, you can do nothing. So all of our plans, if it's not in God, they don't amount to a hill of beans. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. So there's a hellish metaphor by Jesus. Rubbish gets dealt with and gets just out, it's just gone. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I've always been challenged by this declaration of Jesus Christ and the power of prayer. Abiding in Christ, knowing God, thinking God's thoughts, asking things that line up with what God's doing, result in an effective prayer life. I believe that's the teaching of Scripture. Not whatever you say God does, but abiding in God, being led by him, of him, speaking out the things that God in his will has ordained, that they would be made manifest in the world so that people can see him answering prayer because it's his will to do so. That happens, and Jesus promises it. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And so look again at the mission of the church on the front page of the bulletin, and you'll see that disciples make disciples. That's why we're here. And so reflect on the scriptures today. and see that Paul yearns for the others to include them. And God gives gifts to be used in service that we look to know God personally. Do you know God personally? Not know about him, not know that there is a God, not morally assent to the fact that God is true, I revere him. Know God and be a bit awestruck and recognize his will for the world and be on board. And recognize his feelings for you that are good and for you, to lift you up and to bring you near. He wants you near. He wants you near. And there's an enemy who works against it to keep you far. So near or far. Did you remember that from Sesame Street or one of the other children's things where a little puppet would go, far.
Near.
You know, I remember that as a kid and I learned that. And I don't want to worry about whether I could be broken off as a branch. That's not the message from the front or the message of Paul, really. It is abide. It is draw near. It is let God include you. And don't you become a hard crust on the top of the pudding. There's more to come. And there's people to be welcomed and to be a part. We agree with this in our heart of hearts, but we need to make it our practice. We need to create open spaces, and we need to go where there are people who are not coming, that they be reached. And you know that. And you know that from the scripture. And I'm just making the point again. We need to know God personally. We need to look to grow, to be built up as people, so that we can serve each other with the goal of sharing this life with the lost. Knowing and growing and serving and sharing. That's what we have to do. That's what we're called to do.